We're going to continue a series that we started right after last year's retreat. We have our retreat every year in May, and Kevin and I were just talking about next year's retreat, coming up with a theme, and I was thinking about it during the worship, and it kind of occurred to me. We've been talking about our series this, you know, much an external kind of a series. We're talking next year about the inner man, you know, going from the outside to the inside, because obviously the inside, what goes on in the inside of us will ultimately affect what goes on the outside of us. What is in will come out. We're going through the series, Fearless Faith, Experiencing God Every Day. And you know, when I think of fearless faith, I mean, you can't help but think of, you know, some of the, you know, giants of the faith, especially of Christ. You know, he was about as, well, he was as fearless as they come. Every day he walked boldly and did things that most of us, you know, we look at and say, wow, I can't even believe he said that or he did that. And like, you know, I wouldn't have, kind of a thing. And yet many of those things we probably ought to be doing. Now, we're never going to probably do it as well as he did. No, we won't do it as well as he did, but we can all do it better. We can all of us be more fearless than we are. And we can do it in a way that helps those around us to be more fearless. So my approach to this series has been to describe the attributes of God in the belief that if we know God better, if we just know him better, that it is going to naturally, the byproduct of knowing God better is, one of those byproducts is fearlessness. You know, the better we know God, the better we understand our relationship with God, the more fearless we will be, because that is just the natural byproduct of knowing who God is and understanding how we relate to him. The more you do that, the more fearless you'll become. And so some of those aspects we talk about, you know, we use terms, and I was thinking about that again during worship. You know, we use terms like God is holy, God is good, God is love. You know, we make these very simple statements, very simple sounding statements, and yet theologically they are huge and enormous. And if we truly understand them, it will change the way we feel. But some of those, you know, concepts are not so easy to wrap our minds around. And we come to one of those this morning. You know, as humans, we tend to measure anything that can be measured, right? If it can be measured, we'll measure it. And we'll think of all the different ways. We'll look at it from every angle, every dimension, whatever we can. Even things that are, you know, that are difficult to measure, we'll create a way to measure those things that, you know, are immeasurable. But one of the problems that we have with God is that God is immeasurable. He cannot be measured. And if we can embrace the reality of that and what it means to us, it can help us to be fearless. So we're going to pray, and then we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to do something inside of us to help us to understand just how big God is and what that bigness does for us individually. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come thanking you for your presence here today. And as we open up your word and we talk on this topic about how big you are, I pray, Lord, that you would impart to us some understanding and knowledge that allows us to walk more fearlessly with you as we go through this life, because that's exactly what those in our lives need us to do. They need us to be fearless. And so I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to do that very thing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Title this morning's message is God is Big. And the idea of this message, typically I've got a whole list of topics that I was going to teach for this series, but every month I get to the week before I teach it, I skim over that list and see if anything pops out. And I didn't even do that this time, because something came out of last Sunday's message that almost as soon as I taught it, I said, you know what, I need to say something to the men. And what I said in last Sunday's message is God's love for you is big enough to handle the weakness of your love for him. Wow, I thought that when God gave me that, I thought, dude, that is so huge.
Is that a capital D?
Yeah. I wrote it down on my paper and I said, wow, that's good. You know, I know it wasn't from me. I know that. But, you know, every now and God gives me these things, and I think, that is powerful. Think about that for a minute, guys. God loves you. And that has never changed. It will never change. And he is always inviting us into a deeper relationship with him, right? Always. There's never a day that goes by that he's not inviting you into a deeper relationship with him. But then he gives us the choice to go deeper or not. And let's be honest. Who will be honest and say, I don't always go deeper with God when he invites me to, right? Nobody in the front row agrees. So what a bunch of guys. Come on. Sinners are in the back. That's often how it is. So, of course, I got one of my pastors and the men's ministry leader in the back, too. So, no, they're keeping an eye on the sinners is what they're doing. Yeah, let's be real. I mean, we got to be honest, you know, but, you know, sometimes, you know, we don't choose to love God. Yeah, our love is sometimes weak toward God. And you know what? That doesn't affect God. Doesn't change his love for us. He will not love you less if you don't love him. Your love, the weakness of your love, is not going to change God or change his love for you. Wow. If we truly loved God the way we should, every time he invited us deeper, we would go. We would say yes, every time. And we need to be real with ourselves and say, you know, those times where I say no, it is an evidence of something and that I need to make a commitment to love him more. And that's what he's calling you to. You know, even just try. Try to love him more. That's what he wants. But his love is so big for you, it can handle the fact that your love for him is a little weak sometimes. Is that cool? We know God's love is great. I mean, the Bible tells it to us over and over and over again. But how big is God? How big is he? And how does that largeness, that size of God affect our relationship with him? Turn in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40. There are lots of scriptures that talk about how big God is and what it means to us. And Isaiah's 40, Isaiah is a kind of a special book to me. I've taught it a couple of times. And it's an interesting book. It's split into two parts. The first 39 chapters of Isaiah, you know, God is relaying to his people, the nation of Israel, that they're blowing it, and they're blowing it bad. And he's warning them and warning them and warning them, you know, you need to get your stuff together because judgment is coming. And it will be terrible. And 39 chapters of that, over and over and over and over again, warning them against what was coming. And then comes chapter 40. 40, verse 1. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Isaiah projecting into the future, seeing God was going to do something to restore the nation of Israel. Basically, that even though judgment was coming upon the people of Israel, that he wasn't done with her. He wasn't done with the people of Israel. In the following verses, God promises to restore them, to bring them back into relationship with him. And interesting, in those verses, you also can see both the first and second comings of Christ wrapped up in the next several verses. But I want to jump down to verse 10. It says, behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, with his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. After 39 chapters of doom and gloom, you know, this is an encouraging word for the people of Israel that he's not done with them. He's still trying to restore them. He's got a plan to bring them back and to care for them and take care of them. And then verse 12 is the one I wanted to get to eventually. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. And the point that Isaiah is trying to make here is God is big enough to do what he said. The things that he said in his word, he's big enough to do it. God is big. It says, measured the waters in the hollow of his hand. You imagine making a cup with your hand. And other translations say the waters of the seas or the world seas. He put all of the world's water into the palm of his hand. That's pretty big. It also says that he measured heaven with a span. How big is heaven? But it says that God can measure it. The span is the distance between the tip of your thumb and the tip of your pinky finger spread out. That's a span. He can measure heaven, which my estimation is huge. He can measure it with a span. He's bigger than heaven, which is another one of those concepts. But wait, doesn't he dwell in heaven? And he's bigger than that? Okay, never mind. Don't get caught up in that. Calculated the dust means he put all the dust of the earth into a measuring cup. He measured it. Mountains on, and hills on a scale. God knows how much Mount Everest weighs. He's weighed it. God is big. He created the entire universe. Every single star in the universe he created. And you know, stars are big, right? Would you acknowledge that stars are big? We look at our star and think, okay, that's big. Really, it's not. You compare it to other stars, our sun is not that big. You know, there are stars out there in the universe that are so huge that if you set our solar system next to them, it would be a tiny little speck compared to that star. That's amazing to me. God has made stars that are so huge that we can't, the numbers they use are 10 to the many millions of miles in diameter. Huge. God made those. Not only did he name them, he made them, he named them, and he set them on her course, and he knows exactly where they are and what they're doing. Kevin read this as King David, you know, maybe as he's out in the fields shepherding his flocks as a young man, pondered the heavens. And it caused him to wonder. Psalm 8, 3 and 4. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? As David is meditating on just how big God is, he's blown away by the fact that God notices that the seemingly insignificant humans on this planet. Blown away that God even notices humans. But notice us, he does. Psalm 40, verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. What does that mean to us? That when God thinks about us, he thinks about us so much that we could not keep track of how much and how often he does it. Not only does he think about us, but he cares. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Not only does he think about you so much you can't keep track of it, but he also cares for us. And the sense there is that there are feelings of caring, meaning he has feelings of affection toward us, but also the sense of caring for in the sense of taking care of us. Turn to Romans 8. Yeah, it doesn't happen as often as it used to in my life, but there were times I wondered about, you know, God loving me and wondering about it and recognizing, you know, I'm blowing it, you know, this time or that time, you know, maybe God doesn't love me anymore, blah, blah, blah. I used to get caught up in that. You know, you read verses like John 3:16, God, you know, loves the world. Okay, yeah, that's the human race, but, you know, have you looked at me lately? you know, I'm not all that great. You may love the whole human race, but when it comes down to me, yeah, not so sure. Romans 8 has, for a long time, just erased that thought to me, and especially in verse 37 and through 39. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, including me, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's love for me is never ending. And that love preceded our faith. Romans 5:8 says God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God is big. We are small. And yet God notices us. He thinks about us. He cares for us. And he loves us. So, how can that make us fearless? How can the reality that God is huge? I think I made the point, right? God is big. And even though he's big, he still attends to us. He still looks over us. He still watches us. He's still leading us. He's still guiding us. He's doing all these things. So how does that make us more fearless in our faith? 3 points I want to make this morning. First, we are on God's side. Now, it would be nice to say God is on our side, but that is technically incorrect. God's side is always static or always fixed. God never moves. And what he wants us to do when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we come over to his side. We come out of the darkness into the light. And so we are on his side. Being on God's side has benefits. Romans 8:31 says, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? So the reality is if you're on God's side, God is for you, which means that he is going to fight for you. He's going to defend you. He's going to protect you. He's going to provide for you. He's going to do all of these things for you because you are on his side. Now, it doesn't mean no one's ever going to come against you, right? We acknowledge that. That even though that we're on God's side doesn't mean we're immune from bad things coming into our lives. But it does mean that we can prevail against those things. Those things cannot prevail against us. They cannot. And as long as we are walking according to God's will. Now, God, you know, if we get rebellious and we get, you know, start doing things we shouldn't be doing, then God is going to discipline us because he loves us too much to let us wander off into the wilderness without trying to stop us from doing that. Yeah, God is always present. He never takes his eyes off of us. Now, that's one of those truths that is so powerful to me and also can be very convicting at times. But the reality is that God is always there and he's big. And so, you know, those things sometimes when they come against me, I don't have to be afraid of them. Because if I'm walking in accordance to God's will, if I'm doing it, you know, as well as I know, you know, I'm not perfect, no one's perfect, but if I'm doing the best I know, then I know God is for me. And that these things that come against me can only come against me to the degree that God allows. And I can walk boldly in those things. Keep in mind is that, you know, when those things come against you, if you're on God's side, you know, he's big. He thinks about you a lot. And he cares. And his love is amazing. And it can make us more fearless. If you know what God wants you to do, you can do it more fearlessly because you're on God's side. He's going to shield you from any unnecessary things. I love that about God. That I can just go forward. If God says go that way, okay, I'll go that way. That anything that doesn't belong in my life, he's going to shield me from that. He can protect. You know he can do that, right? He can control the entire universe. That means he can ordain things around you so they happen exactly a certain way according to his will. And if you'll just press in, you don't have to be afraid of what might come. Now, I want you to think for a moment. Is there something God wants you to be doing? Something God has said to you, I want you to do something. I want you to do this thing, whatever it is. And the list, what that could be, is endless. It, you know, for some, it may be repent. For some, it may be confess. For some, it may be some act of service or charity or some, who knows, some act of faith God's calling you to. He's telling you to do something because he's always calling us into a deeper relationship. That means he's calling us to go do something. When do you think he wants you to do it? Right now. Right now. What keeps us from doing it? Now, there could be lots of things, but let me tell you the number one thing. Fear. No, not me, Pastor. You don't know who I am. I ride a motorcycle. You're not the only one who rides a motorcycle, Mike. Feeling a little conviction, are we? when we're afraid, we say, God says, go this way, and there's a response of fear. What are we afraid of? We're afraid of the consequences of our actions, aren't we? Aren't we afraid of what happens if we do what God is going says to do? We're afraid of what might happen. Well, let me ask you something. Does God know the consequences already? Didn't he know them when he told you to do it? If God knows what's going to come and he told you to do it anyways, it's because he has a plan to walk you through those consequences. It's part of the plan to go through those consequences if they're coming. Because often when we're afraid of the consequences, we're afraid of something that may not actually even happen, right? Aren't we? We're, you know, that fear often is based on some perception of a future reality that may or may not be true. God knows that. God knows what the truth is. God knows exactly what the future is. And when he tells you to go do something, he already knows what the consequences are if you do it. God is bigger than any possible consequences that can come into your life. Any consequences. He's watching you and your life. He's thinking about you all the time. He cares for you continuously and will take care of you through whatever circumstances might come into your life. And his love for you is as big as he is. We can walk fearlessly with our God because he is big and we are on his side. Second thing, God does big things. Is that a true statement? Does God do big things? Relative to God's size and power, most things he does are not that big. You know, from his perspective. From our perspective, they're humongous. They're enormous. They're gigantic. But to him, it's not that big of a deal. It's not uncommon for God to ask his people to do something that exceeds their understanding of reality. Their understanding of what they're able to do, of what anybody else is able to do. He just asks them to do big things. Hard things, right? Anybody ever experienced that? God's asking you to do a hard thing. Is it hard to God? Is it impossible to God? Nope. Yeah, there are times when I read through the Bible and I come across something that every time I read it, I think, man, that's hard. One of those places in Titus chapter 3, 1 and 2, it says this, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, that sometimes that's hard to do, to obey, yeah, that was a good one, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. Yeah, one of those things that I struggle with, being just real and transparent, is I'm not always gentle and humble. Yeah, not so much when I'm in an environment like this, though sometimes I wrestle with it, but really at home. One of the places I'm the least gentle probably and the least humble is at home. And man, every time I read a verse like that, it just convicts me that I let my guard down. I don't shore up those defenses the way that I should be. You know, sometimes we look at some of those things and, you know, being humble with all men. You know, Luke 18:27 tells us the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. I don't know about you guys, but I want to be great for God. I want to do something great for God. I don't want to get to the end of my life and, you know, on my tombstone, there lies Rick. He lived, then died. With the subtitle, so what? I mean, we don't, do you want to live that kind of a life? Or do you want to say, he attempted something great for God, or he did something great for God? Wouldn't that be a better epitaph to our life? You know, I have things going on in my life right now, and several of them are things that, you know, things that I think God's calling me to do. And they're kind of big. You know, they're bigger than me. And you know, there's an element where I'm wondering, why would I be doing this? And isn't there somebody better qualified to do something like this? But I sense God's telling me to do it. So yeah, I'm going to go. I'm going to do what God's calling me to do. God is big. And I know I don't have that much to offer. But you know what I do know? That God can take my little loaves and fishes and do something absolutely miraculous with it. Something so much bigger than me that it will blow anybody that is aware of what's going on, will blow them away and say, well, that's got to be God, because I know Rick. God is big. And as a believer, we are on his side. He's big. He does big things. And we ought to be trying to do big things with God. We ought to be striving toward big things. And sometimes it may be just attending to your marriage or your family, or, you know, some ministry that God's calling you to, or, you know, loving a neighbor. You know, maybe there's a neighbor you're struggling with. Maybe there's a coworker. Maybe, you know, there's something in your life where God's calling you to do something big. I'm sorry, am I just nailing you left and right here?
Or neighbor.
Yeah, I'll pray for you, Mike. Really, I will. One last point before we close. God is big. This is one of my favorite points of this message. God is big, so I don't have to be. I love that. Whether you are facing some impossible or difficult circumstance or some consequence of your actions or attempting to do something great for God, you are not God. Thank God. You know, I know that comes as a shock to a couple of you. You are not, sorry, did I look right at you again? Dang it. You are not God. You don't have to be. You know, as men, one of the things that we struggle with is that we sometimes act like everything depends upon us. Right? Am I right? Sometimes we act like everything depends upon us. Lately I've been kidding with Kelly. You know, I'm not sure how it started, but it's just something I just started doing recently. Is that whenever she's wrestling with something, she's having a tough time with something. Like the other day, she was putting some gadgets onto this piece of wood and using a cordless drill, with a drill and a screwdriver, and she was struggling with it a little bit. And I said to her, "You know what you need?" "What?" she says. "You need a man." Like, you know, that's the answer to all of her problems. You know. You know, all of your problems, and you just need a man. You know, in this circumstance, you know, she, okay, yeah, well, get over here and help me do what I'm trying to do. And, you know, and I showed her what she needed to do, and then off she went. But don't we sometimes just believe that? That's what you need. You need me to solve your problems. I can solve all of your problems. And while God did put me in her life to help her in some areas where she is weak, you know, that's true. She's in my life to help me in some areas where I am weak. That's how this whole marriage relationship is supposed to work. But the reality is, as a man, I sometimes then start to translate that into all things. I will start to act like I am the solution to all problems. Now, you would never actually say that out loud, I pray. If you do it in this group, you would be fixed. Maybe literally. God is big, so you don't have to be. You can let God be God. Trust him to be God. Trust him to solve those issues. Do you trust God enough to let him be as big as he is in your life? One of my favorite verses, and I come to this one regularly, especially for us as men. It's out of 2 Chronicles, and it was spoken to a man who was taking matters into his own hands and doing what he thought was right. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says this, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth." God is going across the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. God is big. God is strong. You know, big, strong, we can put both those together. And he's looking for someone who will let him show that. We sometimes, when we take over, say, "God, I've got this. God, I can handle this. I can solve this problem." We're not letting God do it. And so we are limited, right? You do acknowledge that you're not God and that you can't do all things. If you acknowledge that, recognize God can. You know, every single time we come to something, this is not, this is what I think where we can really take this to the next level in our faith. You know, when I come to an impossible situation, when I come to something that I know God is the only solution to, okay, I'm going to go to God. God, okay, you're big, I'm not, fix it. But what God wants us to do is let him be God always and in everything. In every circumstance that we face in our lives, let God be big. Let God be God. And turn to God and say, "Okay, God, I could solve this on my own, but what would you have me do? How would I show my heart is loyal to you that you might prove to the rest of this world just how strong you are? How should I do that now?" In all the little things, in all the little details of our lives, where we sometimes take over. What we need is a man. Every time you're facing an impossible situation, a difficult circumstance, or just everyday stuff, you need to ask yourself, "Do you know what I need? I need my big God." That's what we need to do, man. The bigger you let God be in your life, the more fearless you will become in this life, because he's big and he is thinking about you and watching over you. He cares for you and he loves you, and he is just waiting for an opportunity to show him strong in your life. Let's go be fearless with our big God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and this time as you brought us this place, Lord, for your glory, and that we might be a blessing to others, and that our faith might grow. I pray, Lord, that you will take something out of this message and you will minister it to your men in such a way that they can communicate it out to those around them through a change in their lives. I thank you for all that you do, Lord, and we praise you, Lord God, that you are a big God. I pray that every day you would get bigger in our sight, and that through your largeness, through the expanse of who you are and what you are, that we would be more and more fearless in our faith, and that we would go where you lead, knowing that you're already there waiting for us to show up where you're calling us. And so I pray, give us the courage to go. Give us the faith to just say yes when you call us in that deeper walk with you. Lord, even when the walk looks impossible, when the consequences seem devastating. Lord God, help us to trust you fully and completely because you are a big God. Praise you, love you. We thank you for this day, and I thank you for these men. Ask for your blessing on them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys.